Here with a review of 1986 are the Christmas Hudlines, starring Roy Hart with Chris Emmett, June Whitfield, and the Hudliners.
Thank you. Thank you very much indeed, folks, and welcome to the Christmas show. Yes, the show that does for the news what Paxo does for turkeys. You know, I love Christmas, but I'm glad the preparations are over and the suspense of Christmas Eve, you know, waiting for my son to finally get off to sleep before creeping into his room and swapping his full stocking for an empty one, you know. But did you get any nice presents this year? You know, I often wonder what our leading politicians get in their Christmas stockings, apart from being arrested. But now I know, thanks to some brilliant, probing, investigative journalism. For instance, Dennis gave Maggie a brand new coat of primer. And what did she buy, Dennis? I hear you cry. A homebrew kit. Yes. Gordon's Distillery. And Neil Kinnock, the one man I Stedford, he bought lovely, lovely Glenis, a turkey back from America. When he got home, she couldn't tell him apart. And David Owen received a present from his most ardent admirer. But it can't be much fun. You already know what you bought yourself, don't you? And David Steele, the Orville of the Alliance, he's been given a new board game called Life Assurance. You have to try and convince your opponents that you have a worthwhile policy. But meanwhile, turning away from the Dinah Rod duo, we come to Geoffrey Howe, the Cabinet's answer to steam pudding. His wife bought him a bottle of Valium. Anything to liven him up, you know. But what about the royals, eh? Princess Di wanted something from Charles she's always yearned for but never had. That's right, an O-level. But Di gave Fergie a pair of her old ski pants as a present. Yes, Fergie's using them as an oven glove. I was told the Queen has given Philip something that will keep him happy for the rest of his life. Yes, you've guessed it. A horse and four that doubles as a kebab house. And Viscount Lindley, nobility's answer to MFI, he's given Princess Margaret a specially made table that seats two. Underneath. But I hear Mark Phillips has ruined Princess Anne's Christmas. Yes, he came home. And I see a major row broke out between Maggie Thatcher, Princess Michael and Her Majesty. They couldn't agree who was going to make the Queen's speech. But I must say, there's some amazing things in the shops this year to persuade us to part with our cash. I bought a box of Geoffrey Archer crackers, yes. There was 2,000 quid in mine and an ex-party hat. But you know, ugly playthings are in this year, aren't they? Hamleys were displaying these disgusting squat figures that give off a nasty smell, yet they still sold. I mean, I ask you, who wants a cabbage patch Nigel Lawson? But there we are. And they've also got a new line in Transformer robots. Although I think they're too frightening and horrible for kids. They start off looking quite harmless, then you twist them about and they turn into Norman Tebbit. It's horrible. And I heard that Roy Hatters has brought out a new record, which includes songs like Susie Susie Sitting in the Shoe Shine Shop. Yeah. It comes with a free shower cap. But cleverest of all must be the Cecil Parkinson Action Man. Oh, good, you remember Cecil Parkinson, do you? It's amazing. It walks, it talks, it laughs, it cries. The only trouble is it makes the Cindy doll pregnant. But you know, I had a call Taffy Davitt the other day, but it was all right after I ordered the zip. And still with dressing problems, in April, a judge sent a lawyer home for wearing a polo neck jumper in court. So he popped home and put some trousers on, and then he was fully briefed. But who sells judges their high court couture? The Hudlines puts on their lawsuits to find out.
Hello, schmutter lovers. Welcome to Judge About Town. Outfitters to the legal profession and Lord Hailsham. My name's Bodily, but you can call me Grievous.
Could I see the male assistant?
I'm sorry, but this is the best I can do.
Please excuse my colleague. This is His Honour, Judge Loitering.
Oh, and you are?
I'm his parole officer. He wants a completely new wardrobe.
Really?
Yes, the door keeps flying open on the old one. Oh, that's better.
Yeah. Now then, your most esteemed trouser press, what sort of thing are you thinking of?
Jane Mansfield in a wet bikini.
Your Honour, please. Mr. Grievous wants to know what you'd like to wear.
Jane Mansfield's wet bikini is what I like.
I'm terribly sorry.
It's all right, love, don't worry. Most of our customers are Freemasons. Now, now in your trendy hip ship, what about this gorgeous judge's room?
Oh, very nice. What do you think, Your Honour?
I wouldn't mind trying it on in the cubicle.
Chance would be a fine thing, dear. Anyway, I haven't measured you up yet. Now, hold still while I do your inside leg. Yeah. Oh, goodness gracious me. This is the longest measurement I've ever taken.
It's all right. His other leg's a lot shorter.
I was born on the side of a hill.
Well, that'll explain that sheep on your head there.
Well, I couldn't afford the wig.
In that case, let me show you the very latest in High Court headgear. Nice. Wig Walkmans.
Wig Walkman?
It gives you something to listen to during the trial, you know. Plus, it comes with a free Keep Fit cassette, Workout with Lord Denning. You have to bang your gavel in time with his sentences.
No, I don't think so.
No. Look. I want something exciting to wear.
You want another inside leg measurement?
No. I mean,
something exciting.
Yes. Whatever happened to the old-fashioned horsehair communicus and cummerbund?
I sold him to Kenny Everett.
Well, hurry up, will you? I've got to be in court in half an hour. It's a very strange case. Very strange, involving geese juggling without a license.
Oh, nice. Does it carry a heavy penalty?
I hope not. I've only got £15 in the bank.
And in May, Mrs. Thatcher went to Tokyo. Well, why should the Japs have everything their own way, eh? She was there for the World Summit, and they drank a toast to her. Sake for the sake, I suppose. The Headlines MI5 graduates listened in to the inside story.
Oh, I'm walking sideways for Christmas. Oh, darling, thank God we're out of that terrible place, eh? Whiskey at £16 a bottle. Good God, that's nearly £50 a glass.
Oh. Well, I found the country fascinating. The way everyone lives in paper houses.
Yes, I had no idea Barrett's had a Japanese branch.
They have such gentle, delicate rituals.
Oh, you mean the tea ceremony?
No, I was thinking more of the sumo wrestling and full contact karate.
But talking of the tea ceremony, I thought your behaviour at the Emperor's banquet could have been better.
Well, it wasn't me who was whistling the Bridge on the River Kwai as we all trooped in.
And your table manners could have been better. I mean, honestly, old fruit, every time Ronnie passed you the cheese and biscuits, you rolled over and waved your legs in the air.
Well, what's wrong with a little fooling around?
Well, I mean, there's a difference between fooling around and making obscene phone calls on the hotline at 3 a.m.
Did I?
You certainly did. You and Butch Cassidy giggling down the blower, shouting, "Hello, Mikhail," with power stations like yours, who needs Trident? I mean, really.
Oh, I'm sure Gorbachev will understand.
And while we're at it, I didn't like the way you let the Italian president rub you dry afterwards.
I had to get dry quickly, Dennis, or my chest would have gone rusty. Well, I like Japan, a well-ordered society where the entire population is submissive and totally devoted to their jobs. Now, why can't Britain be like that?
Simple. No one's got a job to be devoted to, have they? Thank you.
Dennis. None of your lip, or I'll stuff this bonsai bush where it hurts.
You can't do that. It was a present from the Emperor.
Yes, it is rather lovely. Small, but perfectly formed.
Oh, I love it when you talk dirty to me, darling.
I'm talking about the bonsai tree.
Oh, yeah, yes. Well, it is rather nice, isn't it? Much nicer than what you gave the Emperor.
Oh, yes. What did we give him in the end?
Milton Keynes. Oh!
I was reading my Undertaker's Mirror this week. I buy it for the pearl-handled caskets on page 3, you know. When I saw that someone started up a burial at sea firm in Devon. I wonder how much trade they'll be getting.
Excuse me, madam. May I ask where you're going?
Well, actually, I was just going into this funeral parlour to book a secluded plot.
What luck I stopped you in time, eh? My card. Davy Jones. Hydro internment's a speciality.
I beg your pardon?
Hang about. If you want a change from the usual sort of funeral, then come to us and we'll bury you at sea. We've got several different services depending on your pocket, and our prices go from quite a lot to 50p. Well, for £500,000, you get the QE2, with an admiral, a captain, and a nice big crew. For a tenner, we can book you half an hour upon the boating lake and tip you off a pedalo or small canoe.
No, I don't think so.
Hang about. It's £100,000 for the hands and lottie service in a blue lagoon where the biggest groupers grow and the mourners wear black toppers with their flippers and their snorkels. And you get a running commentary from Jacques Cousteau. £7 will get you buried like the Viking King, where we tie you to an oil drum with a bit of string. For £5 we can put you on a lilo with a puncher, and then every year we come and lay a rubber ring.
Oh, thank you.
You might decide on the full Titanic sinking if you want the price. Well, I'm sorry, it depends. It is probably beyond you as an individual customer, but worth it if you go with several hundred friends. Oh, for £20, the boat race is the one to choose. You get towed along through Hammersmith by 8 light blues. Or for 50p, we take you down to Dartmouth when the tide is out. And leave you at the waterline with concrete shoes.
Oh!
Oh, is that flag on top of?
Years of self-denial and a fish diet. There we go, done. Earlier in the year, Michael Parkinson was having trouble putting out his rubbish. Mind you, I suppose we shouldn't really talk like that about Desert Island Discs. I mean, it used to be a very popular program, didn't it? No, in fact, Parky got shirty because his local council wanted residents to empty their own dustbins into a big container that gets wheeled down the road. Well, Parky and his posh neighbours in Berkshire, Berks for short, that's the county, not the residents, they were all up in arms about having to perform this menial task. But will the bin men get a Christmas box? And will it fit? The news headlines investigated the dust cart dust-up and the refuse rumpus.
Right, bring out your rubbish. Unclean, unclean. Bring out your rubbish.
Here, you.
Yes, mate.
I want a word with you. Do you know who I am?
No, I'm sorry, I can't help you. Look inside your vest.
Well, I'm telling you, it's Parky.
Yes, it is a bit, but I've got my thermals on.
No, I'm Michael Parkinson. Don't you recognise me, you ignorant twerp?
Now you've come to mention it, I do recognise you.
Oh, by my voice, eh?
No, by your manners.
Look here, it's about this preposterous scheme to make me take out my own rubbish. I want to give you a piece of my mind.
No problem, just chuck it in the bin with the rest. Now.
Oh, no, it's one of my neighbours.
Hello. I say, who's this fretful, scruffy little working class oik?
That's Michael Parkinson.
I was talking about you.
Well, I am an executive refuse disposal consultant.
Nonsense. It's just a more modern, fancy jargon word for a job of work, that is. Why, I remember when I was a lad in Barnsley. And my old dad used to put on his best cardboard shoes and he'd take me to see Gene Kelly playing for Yorkshire. We were so hard up, we couldn't afford proper rubbish. We used to eat every scrap, even the tin cans. And sometimes we didn't even have that. Just one lump of coal for the 12 of us to suck. And then I think it was... I read somewhere that... Here, wake up, Hey,
all right, I'm going. There'll be some new dustmen round next week to look after you personally.
And about time and all.
But I don't think you're going to like it.
Oh, why's that?
It's Ted Rogers and Dusty Bing.
Oh, no, come back, come here.
Well, during the year, you can't have avoided that tedious, long-running trial. No, not Howard's Way. I mean... The row about a spy book a former MI5 man wanted to publish in Australia. Now, this retired intelligence officer claimed the head of the British Secret Service was a Soviet agent. It was ridiculous. He never even went to Cambridge. So in the public interest, the Hudlines put on its Macintosh, turned up the collar, found 50p we thought we'd lost, and went to find if the spies were being economical with the truth.
Yes, number three.
Number two's just arrived in the car park, number one.
Oh, very good, number three. Tell him I want to see him immediately, will you? No! Number two, how many times have I told you, use the lifts, not the ejector seat?
Number one, you wanted to see me.
Look at this. It's bad news, I'm afraid.
Let me see. Portsmouth 5, Crystal Palace 0.
No. No, the other side. A coded message from number 5 in Moscow.
What? There is a Russian spy in MI5. I thought you said it was in code.
Well, it is if you're Russian.
A Russian spy in MI5. Well, that's absolutely ridiculous.
Yes. Pour me a vodka and pass the chicken Kiev, would you? Number 2, I want you to handle this one.
What, this one?
No, this one.
Certainly. Who knows about it?
Not many. It's classified.
Classified, eh?
Classified. Just you, me, number 3, the PM, the FO, MOD, BCG, CIA, IOU, DDT, CBI, BBC, FBI, ICI, updidly IDI.
Boom, boom.
Thank you.
Yes, number 1.
Come in here, number 3. Number 2, always remember, first there was Philby, then there was Burgess. And then, who was the third man?
Orson Welles, lovely zither music. I love it.
No, it was McLean.
McLean, I'll never buy his toothpaste again, sir.
Oh, number 3, I want you to do a bit of role-playing.
Not the schoolgirl outfit again, sir.
Isn't Tuesday, is it? No, I want you to be blunt.
Okay. I hate your wallpaper.
No. Anthony Blunt.
I hate your wallpaper, but I can get one of the Queen's paintings to hang over it.
That's better.
That's a farce, number 1.
What?
What's this in your pocket? Pravda.
Yes, I buy it for the heat-seeking missiles on page 3, comrade. Oh, it's true. All right, I admit it. Monday to Friday, I am number 1. But the rest of the time, I am Major Olegover of the KGB.
You mean...
Yes, Olegover at the weekends.
Well, you know, in my quest for the most up-to-the-minute stories, I carefully scan all the papers and the Sun, but it was in the Daily Torygraph, I mean the Telegraph, that I read the very latest hot-off-the-presses, earth-shattering news item. The stock exchange had a brothel in the 18th century. Yes, it seems the money men had their own bawdy house on the premises. An early version of the Big Bang, I suppose, still. We all like to nip in for a quick one after work, don't we? But... what was it like in this dirty den of stocks and bondage?
Ah, good day to you, busty wench. It is I, Lord Peter of Ponsington. As you see, I am without.
Well, there's no point in coming here, then.
No, I am in need of some relief from the strains of the stock exchange. I've had a very tiring day on the floor.
Yes, you and me both, dearie.
Whom do you have?
Hello, Professor.
Gadzooks, I pity, madam. Who is this mountain of ugliness?
Mistress Thunderthighs is my name. Get your groats out, I'm on the game.
Oh.
Doth she tickle your fancy, sir?
I fear, madam, I never invest money without inspecting the assets first.
Oh. Well, would you remove your corsets, please?
Certainly.
Look out!
Timber!
Oh, I think my shares have just dropped.
The bottom's falling out of the market, more like that. Madam, how much do you charge?
Well, it's a groat a groat, 4 groats a shilling.
Stap me vital.
That's extra.
Here. So, my lord, dost thou fancy what thou seest?
I fear not, madam. I shall have to refer to my list of houses of ill repute.
What's that? A directory of Barrett homes?
Now then, zounds, the perfect place. A house of terrible repute and appalling den of iniquitous proceedings.
Oh, faith, sir, by what name is this place called?
What else? The House of Commons.
Oh!
Aye, 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 aye. If it isn't Rudy Rednose. Why are you walking that way?
I've just been roasting my chestnuts over an open fire.
Serves you right. Well, I hope you get the talcum powder as a present, Ned.
Tell me, why are you walking that way?
The wife's just kissed me under the mistletoe.
There's no answer to that.
And one hasn't been provided.
Now, Mr. Plum, tell me, did you get any duff presents?
I should say so. The wife gave me a portable electric blanket, runs off a car battery.
Well, what's wrong with that?
I have to sleep in the Montego every night.
I bought the wife a Flymo.
I bet she was pleased.
She couldn't wait to try it out.
Good girl.
Now we've got the first skinhead Axminster in our tower block.
Did she get you anything?
Yeah, the same old useless stuff. A Marty Kane pop-up book.
What's the matter with it?
You open the page and nothing happens.
I see. Well, I got the Roger Moore book of aerobics. That raised an eyebrow, I can tell you.
All I can say is I'm never going Christmas shopping with a wife again.
Never?
They thought never. They thought we were shoplifting. Chased us all round the decorations until I finally got caught up by the crackers.
Well, dear, oh dear. Did you get tears in the eyes?
Yes, and a motto and a paper hat.
Good luck. I believe Maggie Thatcher's not inviting her daughter round this Christmas.
Why's that?
She can't stand to hear Carol singing. Look out, they're coming towards us.
Tell me, have you done any wassailing?
The doctor said not to when I'm wearing the appliance. But we've had lots of food and drink.
Did you get the liqueur?
Yes, but I put that down to the Brussels sprouts. My old woman's just been having a go at me for steaming the Christmas pudding in her tights.
What's wrong with that?
She got custard all over her knees.
I gave my missus a rest this year.
Oh, thank God for that.
And I helped her out as well. I cooked the turkey. She said it was as tough as old Wellies.
Well, they do say they're beautiful.
They do, they do.
They do, they do. Don't you know how to cook a turkey?
Of course I do, but the feathers don't half soak up the gravy.
You're right there. I've got the mother-in-law staying with us. She won't leave the milkman alone.
Talking to Mother Goose.
Yes.
Are you doing a panto? Are you doing a panto this year?
No, but I've written one. Have you seen my Sleeping Beauty?
Not yet, but I've heard the rumours.
Aye, aye,
that's good luck.
And did you see this winter that a group called Animal Aid was suggesting we should stop eating turkey for Christmas? Well, most of us don't stop eating turkey till the first week of January, do we? But has the Animal Aid group got a point? What do you think? What do you think? Oh, what do you think of British Christmas dinners? Do we indulge too much or not enough? If fanning turkey means we'd have to eat sardines, I can tell you now they're rather hard to stuff. What do you think?
Mum, what's for dinner?
One nut cutlet cooked in spinach.
What, for Christmas?
Well, I've iced it.
What do you think?
What do you think? Some choose their menus from the latest Slimming Max.
What do you think? Do turkeys know we ought to give them up like fags?
What do you think? They must be pretty bright to climb in plastic bags.
Did you ever?
Who'd believe it?
What do you think? What do you think of cutting down at Christmas? Wouldn't you get to feel you'd eat a horse? They say the nouveau riche are recommending quiche, but they've always got an awful lot of sauce.
What do you think? Do Christmas dinners make our dietitians weep?
What do you think? I like to have my pudding, then I fall asleep.
What do you think? I'm not off counting turkeys now instead of sheep.
Did you ever
believe it?
What do you think? What do you think?
Mum, watch for afters.
Cabbage, crisps, nuts and custard.
No thanks, Mum, I'll eat the crackers.
What do you think?
What do you
think? If we don't eat them, would they let the turkeys loose?
What do you think? Will turkey lip supporters really play the deuce?
What do you think? Well, if it doesn't work, it ought to cook their goose.
Merry Christmas!
Happy New Year!
Give us a drink! And finally, Stop Press for 1987.
A new pirate radio station starts up in the North Sea with the most powerful transmitter ever heard.
Yes, it's Ian Paisley in a rubber dinghy.
Sylvester Stallone says he's fed up with critics complaining about him mumbling his dialogue, and he's now taking a course of speech therapy.
From Derek Jameson.
Mary Whitehouse is branded by her critics as unrealistic and out of touch with today's morals.
Yes, they say she's looking at the world through red triangle glasses.
And that's the end of the Stop Press.
But we'll be back next year unless there's a snap election and my majority drops off. Happy New Year!
Those were the Christmas Hudlines, starring Roy Hudd with Chris Emmett, June Whitfield and the Hudliners. The show was written by Peter Hickey, Tony Hare, Martin Booth, Paul B. Davis, Stuart Silver, Malcolm Williamson, Nick Revel, Alan Whiting, Richard Quick and Jeremy Brown.
All of whom are in the Christmas Pudding Club, organised by our producer,
Mark Robson.